Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. Colin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff.
So, Colin, as I drove in to the studio this morning, I saw all the barricades deployed. 7 out of 10 vehicles that I actually saw were NOPD vehicles with their lights on. It was a nice sight to see, and very few people on the roadway, which they heeded your advice, which I know as you're sitting in that EOC eating those Oreo cookies like I always did, that was good. That was good news, right?
I am always eternally grateful and would continue to just say, stick to it. The public's doing great. I see a lot of people kind of enjoying this to a certain extent, which I think is absolutely fine. Just be careful outside, even when you're walking around. But yeah, staying off the roads. We just briefed the mayor. DOTD was on. I mean, they're doing yeoman's work to try and keep these roadways at least minimally open, but we're losing the battle with the snow right now, just quite frankly. We do have the city has identified snow plows and additional salt spreaders that we're going to bring in. And as soon as the snow stops this evening, we are identifying priority routes that we want to start working on just to get the snow out of the way. And then that will be able to continue with sand and salt. But at this point, sand and salt on the snow is not going to have really any impact. We're in a position right now where we are where we are with that. We have managed to keep, DOTD has managed to keep one lane open on the Crescent City connection for emergency vehicles. But now our issue is the on and off ramps, as you know, on both sides are pretty steep. And so it's becoming an issue where it is becoming difficult. We do have EMS units and Sprint vehicles located geographically, both, East Bank, West Bank, and then even broken down into Lower Coast Algiers below the Woodland Bridge, which is now closed, and I would say impassable, not just closed, but also just geographically spread out throughout the city, given our, the Industrial Canal and the different areas that we have to get to. They will be able to get to you if you have a medical emergency, but it's definitely becoming more challenging. And all credit to NOPD and our state police partners this morning. They all huddled it and for 4 a.m. and just said, we're going to cut this off before it even becomes an issue. And I think they did a great job of doing that.
Yeah, I saw all the barricades up, multiple locations in the ingress and egress to the interstate, which was encouraging to see that done. Any ideas to accumulation totals in the city as of now?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, in some areas, 2, almost 3 inches at this point, and we're seeing similar and higher totals around I-10, I-12, and Tangipahoa Parish and on the North Shore. We've been in communication with everyone up there, our counterparts. I talked with my counterpart in Lake Charles this morning. They had actually had a blizzard warning issued, and we may have that today if the winds pick up a little more, because that's a measure of winds over 35 miles an hour and a quarter mile visibility, which I think we have the visibility right now in much of the city is much reduced. But the winds, fortunately, have not picked up to that level, which is a good thing, because what we're getting from energy right now is a handful of power outages in the city, really what it would look like on a normal day. And so I'm knocking on wood that that's going to continue as well. No issues with sewage and water board noted as far as water pressure or any issues there. So we're holding steady, but it's not over. I mean, we're obviously going to be getting these higher rates of snowfall until probably 6 or 7 p.m. tonight.
Is that what you're hearing, that this is going to extend that late into the evening?
Yes. Looking like snowfall through the early evening. And then our issue will be that the temperatures are not really going to come above freezing for the next day and a half. And so what you see on the ground is going to stay on the ground, essentially. I mean, there may be a little bit of melting, but, you know, if we get sunshine tomorrow, which we may, it'll still be cold, but we may get some melting. One of the questions that came up is, with melting, you know, is it going to be a problem with drainage or flooding or anything? And the fact of the matter is if it rained after this, or we had a 20 to 30 degree temperature swing, which is not uncommon in the city, we're not looking at that. So they're not concerned about any type of overrunning of drainage or anything like that. This is going to melt off probably pretty slowly. What we are going to announce this afternoon is that clearly the schools and city government in New Orleans will be closed tomorrow again, and that we're looking at opening up at noon on Thursday.
So a number of the officials that we've talked to, the governor, Jeff Landry, Carlton Dufresneau, Cynthia Lee Shang, and others have all expressed some concern about tomorrow, because it looks like we're only going to get above freezing for about a four-hour period of time, if that. And that presents a lot of challenges, because we're looking at actual hard freeze temperatures overnight into tomorrow, with that elongated period of time of being in the mid-20s to low-20s. That presents a different type of challenge than what we're seeing today, right?
Yeah, I mean, that increases the amount of time that that pipes will be below freezing. So you're talking about, you know, potential water issues and broken pipes at residences, which can always be a very pervasive problem. And then why we're still encouraging folks to, you know, today and tomorrow to stay off the roads is because we're going to do everything we can to get snow removal going as necessary, and then continue to use salt and sand. But I think it's going to be I think driving tomorrow is going to be as much of a challenge, or maybe even more than today. And anecdotally, I've seen some of the media coverage, people driving around. I'm from Colorado. I'm from Nebraska. And that's fine and good. But those are also locations that are used to doing snow removal, and we're not one of those locations. So I still caution people, even though you might think you're from somewhere else and that this is kind of ridiculous, a light amount of snow. For us, this is a historic event right now.
Colin, earlier you mentioned snowplows and salt spreaders. Is that some of the equipment that we are receiving through the state EMAC with the state of Arkansas?
No, they're doing that in more north places and west of us right now. I anticipate that moving for us. We were able to identify a vendor out of Indiana that has resources moving into the area, and we anticipate they actually just showed up to the EOC about 20 minutes ago, and we're coordinating with our public safety and DOTD to identify routes that as soon as it stops snowing that we can start moving on.
Yeah, and I don't know that many folks with the listening audience caught what you were saying relative to pre-positioning assets such as EMS in certain areas where they only have to cross these overpasses, bridges, and otherwise just once, right? Once they retrieve an individual that has to go to the hospital instead of there and back, which increase risk.
Right, and then what we can do is we can, because we have a very good network, hospital network, through this, what we call the ESF-8 portal, which is run by the state of Louisiana, the Louisiana Department of Health, we're able to kind of marry an EMS unit with a hospital. Mm-hmm. So it may not even be necessary for those West Bank units to even have to come over here. They can go to either Ochsner West Jeff or West Jeff Hospital and have the needs addressed there instead of having to actually try and cross over the river to come to UMC. Same thing out in New Orleans East. We have capabilities at New Orleans East Hospital. And then also, obviously, in the city proper, we have multiple hospitals, uptown, mid-city, even out into to East Jeff if necessary. So, you know, what they try and do is they try and prioritize an ambulance with an actual location to bring someone.
And Colin, I know that you've experienced this and you've seen it, you know, with the elderly population, when they're experiencing a change like this weather event, it's a stressor. And you have these health events more often than not, right?
Yeah, definitely. We didn't see a large uptick last night, but then we didn't have the snow. So we are monitoring that today. We have prioritized with Entergy a lot of our nursing homes and independent living facilities just in case there are power issues. And I have to say, you know, all credit to Sewage and Water Board as well. We had one of our homeless shelters having a serious plumbing issue on their side of the meter, and Sewage and Water Board has been over there actually trying to fix it for them, just because we realize that it's an additional 50 to 60 beds that we can use to help people that are either in one of our warming centers right now or out and not able to, you know, they have no place to go. So, I mean, one thing about what's going on is you do see everyone kind of chipping in for the greater good to make sure that we can try and get things done quickly and as safely as possible to get people, you know, where they want to be. I would also announce that we've come to capacity at Rosenwald Rec Center as a warming center. So we are opening Treme Center right now as an additional warming center. That's at 900 North Villery in Armstrong Park. And so that's open to the public if you need to come in and warm up. And then we also have other facilities on standby in case we need to open more. And then we're also communicating with the state's transition shelter that they started last week.
And, you know, for the benefit of the listening audience, a lot of people don't realize folks still have floor furnaces. They live in a structure that was built in the early 1900s without any insulation, and those systems are not designed to keep a reasonable temperature within that structure, right?
Yeah. It's a problem, you know, and same with the piping. Most of it runs above ground and is exposed to the elements. And so, you know, running the water when appropriate, which now, you know, a slight trickle out of one of your faucets in the house, doesn't have to be all of them, is appropriate because we're at 30 degrees right now here downtown. So most of the city is still under the freezing temperature, 32. And so that is appropriate. Just remember that everyone in the city is doing that at some point, and so it does create stress on the water system just as far as keeping pressure. And, you know, so any opportunity to conserve water as far as, you know, maybe not doing laundry, running showers and the like all in the morning time helps out as far as trying to maybe stretch that out throughout the day.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Colin, this is going to sound like a crazy question, but I was always curious because I worked really hard to get our radio system up and running for the entire metro area for a number of years. But I was always curious how it would function in event of a snow event. What has y'all's experience been thus far?
Yeah, no issues. The Elwyn system, the Louisiana Wireless Information Network, it's the best state-run interoperable communications network in the country, hands down. There's no state that has been able to build what you and the others that responded to Hurricane Katrina built after that storm. And we've been through hurricanes where multiple tower sites in the state have gone down. If you remember the floods in 2016 in yep. Baton Rouge area, they lost several towers. Every disaster, you know, knock on wood, that we have been through, that system has performed flawlessly with very minimal delay or very minimal outage. And we've got over 12 million daily communications on that and over 112,000 daily users. It's almost every public safety agency in Louisiana is on that network now.
Yeah, you know, you hear
that actually comes up too, because we're developing and have developed all our communications plans for Super Bowl, and you know, we have absolute complete state interoperability with every local, state, and federal agency that comes down here. We'll all be able to talk on the same radios without any delay, without any type of patching. None of that is necessary, because we can give the feds our interoperable channels. They can program them in their radios, and then all of us local and state officials are on the same network anyway. So all we have to direct them to is go to, you know, this channel, and everyone can communicate on that. And I've used it as far away as Little Rock, Arkansas, which is far beyond the design capacity that it has. So I've talked to my office from Little Rock on the radio.
Yeah, that's great news.
Yes.
Interesting thing, too, obviously. Not that y'all weren't already under a lot of pressure from a time perspective, right? The window has got even narrower.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, essentially we're losing almost a week of planning on this, but most everything has been completed. We obviously have things in the French Quarter and around Frenchman Street and Jackson Square that we want to solidify, and we're working on that. And we're even continuing to work on that while this is going on. You know, we can do two things at once, but we have, to your point, we've had the NFL on many of our calls this week just to keep them informed, because they are loading into the Superdome right now and bringing a lot of trucks in and things. And so far, that has not been an issue. They've been able to get in. I think today and tomorrow will be a little bit of a problem, but they're okay with that. They're ahead of schedule. And then also, what was I going to – the NADA, National Auto Dealers Association, huge convention, 20,000 people, is loading into the convention center as we speak, and they're still planning on going on schedule, which is terrific.
You know, when do they start?
Convention, Thursday. So I think it's going to work out perfectly. They allowed them to load in a little early because they knew this weather was coming. They're actually having a dinner tonight that is still going to go on. I think it's more of a dinner for the organizers. But, you know, we've worked with New Orleans and company and really tried. This has been a convention that's been coming here since the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's a huge national, international convention. So, you know, but it's going to go on as scheduled, which is great.
What are you hearing? Have you been in communications with Louis Armstrong International Airport as to whether or not they are going to be able to de-ice their runways? And obviously, each individual carrier is responsible for de-icing their planes.
Yeah, so the airlines usually they make the call on this, and the airport is there to support them in whatever way that they can. But flights were canceled today. I think that they'll be able to start recovering tomorrow at some point. And I know that many of the airlines brought in extra de-icing fluid, and MSY obviously has an entire area that they set aside there as their responsibility as a de-icing pad for airplanes. So fortunately, this doesn't seem to be much of an ice event. And hopefully, you know, the snow will clear and we'll be able to resume flights hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, we got lucky, right, relative to the freezing rain and the mix. The mix didn't last very long. As I was watching it this morning, I got up about 5:30 and was kind of monitoring what was going on outside. It really moved from a mix to snow in a relatively quick fashion.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the ice is what gets you, particularly in the residential neighborhoods with power. It doesn't affect the substations as much, but it gets to the residential lines clacking together with the ice and wind. And then you have the situation where that's very time consuming for the utilities to go to each, you know, street by street and repair these lines, rather than having the issue at a substation where they can do a certain amount of switching and a corrective measure that might fix thousands of homes rather than just one at a time. So far we've been very fortunate with that, and it's been, you know, more of a snow event than an ice event.
Final thoughts?
We're still doing our alerts. Text NOLA READY, one word, to 77295. And as soon as we find out about, you know, things like the causeway closing or opening or any types of information or updates, particularly with traffic and with recommended measures from Sewage and Water Board and the like, we put those out immediately. And I think that, you know, the media is all subscribed to it too, so we get, you know, we get the bang for the buck there. But I'd like to get it right to our residents as well.
Well, stay the course. We really appreciate you joining us today. You know, those EOC cookies are killer. So every event, I buried so many damn cookies, it was ridiculous.
They always buy the most snacks, and you're like, come on, man.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're busy. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on Iroquois Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line with our continuing coverage of the winter storm. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.